Let's turn in the scriptures to Hebrews chapter 6, and there we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, and verses 1 through 20, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Those are the words of the Lord. As you recall last week, the Jews, and we with them here in Hebrews, Hebrews 5, they were rebuked for not moving on to the from the basic knowledge and doctrine, the milk. They did not move on from the milk to the meat of knowing and communion with Christ all the more. So chapter 6 begins with that same language, the milk, or verse 1, the elementary principles of Christ are these things. And this might shock us, but the elementary principles of Christ are repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, ordination, or laying on the hands, maybe it's to heal, like in James 5. The resurrection of our bodies, and eternal judgment. And maybe even especially the last two we might struggle a little bit with, especially the last one, eternal judgment, end time things. So those are the elementary things. Those are the basic things. The baby things for the Christian that we ought to know, at least a basic knowledge of them. Foundation of these doctrines, so that we can then move on from them to more doctrine, more knowledge about God and His promises and who He is and what He has for us, even in the church. We're not to ignore the foundational things, the elementary things. We're not to forget them, but build upon them. And this, verse 3, we will do if God permits. If it is God's will that we move on from the milk to the meat, then we will. And so again, going back to God's sovereignty and Christ sitting on the throne, and that's what we ought to pray for, that He would permit so that we would be able to move on to the meaty things, so that we might commune all the more in the graces of God to us. And then a warning is given in verses 4 and following, and there are many warnings given to the church in Hebrews. This is the first one, which shows that we must be concerned about in the church. Our concern is not merely with believers when we are thinking of the church, because this is written to the church. And yet he's warning that there are, as he says, as the author says in other places, that there are people who are not believers in the church. There are people who will fall away, even as here it says and warns about. Thankfully, it warns us about, and warns all of us here tonight, this evening, about this. That in the covenant community there are those who profess faith and their children. And yet even those who have professed faith, not all who are necessarily justified by faith in Christ. And so children, Oliver and Ezekiel, verses 4 and following, you're warned here of tasting the good things that you have tasted. Warning is given here. The tasting of the good things is every Lord's Day hearing the Word preached and read and taught to you in your homes. And that's to all of us. We're all often hearing these things and being blessed, even by next Lord's Day, celebrating the Lord's Supper and seeing those things, partaking in those things. When we have baptism, we see the gospel continually shown to us, not only in the Lord's Supper, but in baptism. And so those are the things that are the good things that are talked about here, that have been tasted of, even just being in the community of the saints and being loved by one another. Those are the good things that we've all tasted of. But then verse 6, if you turn and fall away, never turning back to Christ, you're showing that you were never truly converted, never truly justified, never truly one of God's children. And yet for God's saints, this does not prove that a true saint may apostatize. It doesn't say that they can lose their faith. It says the opposite. It's a warning. Because then in verse 9, he changes the language. You can see the change of language. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. The true saints were convinced of and confident of better things concerning you. And so verses 4 through 8 are not talking about those who are truly saved, but it's a warning to all of us in the church to not turn away from the Lord. And verses 7 through 8, showing that principle that you see in the Gospels of the good fruit produced and the bad fruit produced and where that leads. And that used as an illustration to prove verses 4 through 6 and the warning to all of us, just as Jesus gave the warning, not only here, but in the Gospels. And so then he expresses the good hopes concerning the saints. And in verse 8, as we just read, we are confident of better things concerning you. And so we ought to be diligent, verse 11, beloved, to serve Christ, to patiently endure this life, knowing that you will obtain the promise. And the promise is if you are in union with Jesus Christ. And how do you know God's promises are sure to you who are in Christ? He confirms his promise by an oath, and even that he says, verse 18, to immutable things, that is, to unchanging things. God, our God, is immutable, that is, he doesn't change, and he even here swears by himself, because there's no one greater than he. And so it is impossible for God to lie. And so then, as we know that this promise is sure, because if God breaks his promise, then there's no God. Right? He swears by himself. And so because of this, we know the promise is sure, then we ought to lay hold of the hope set before you, beloved, in the Scriptures, in Christ. A hope that one may have only in Christ Jesus. The high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who makes a new way into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, which he starts to get into there at the very end, verses 19 and 20. So that's the Word of God for us here. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise for your Word. We're thankful that you care and are gracious and merciful enough to warn your church of the great dangers that can come to any one of us if we are separate from you and maybe have deceived ourselves, Father. We all have tasted of the good things here. And Father, we ask that you would keep us from turning from you. That even as we examine ourselves this week in our preparation for the Lord's Supper, that we would see, Father, our state before you, our love or hatred of you, whatever it may be. But Father, we pray that we would be turned to Christ again and again. That we would find our satisfaction in Him alone, our hope in Him alone, and the guarantee of the promises in Him alone. And Father, we even call upon you to establish us in the elementary things. For those who are older amongst us here, we ought to know all the elementary things, and we ought to have been moved by them, even in our hearts, to desire a greater understanding of them. But we cannot stop there. We must move on to the meaty things and the greater doctrines, or not greater as in better, but greater as in built upon this foundation. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us. And we know that as we call out to you and asking for this, we call because, and we cry out to you because you are the God who permits or not permits this to happen. So we call upon you to make it happen if it be your will. And Father, even for our children, that they would grow in the knowledge of an understanding, and even the desiring of these things, truly, of these elementary things, so that they would also move on from the milk to the meat, Father. You would give them saving faith and send your Holy Spirit into their hearts to change their hearts, that they would know you and love you above all things. And Father, of all of our children, even those who have gone out from us, even those who have played the fool and turn from you, this warning is for them. But we know you're a merciful God, so Father, we ask, and also a covenant God. And so, Father, we pray that you will keep your promises, and if it be your will, that some of them, and all of them, would come to you and turn in faith to you. Father, as we think of Jesus Christ, we're thankful that He has entered into the Holy of Holies, the very presence, your presence, for us as our high priest. But not only does He enter in, He through His death and sacrifice on the cross, tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom, showing the end of the temple worship. But in that, Father, made a way for us into your presence, into the Holy of Holies, before your throne. And so, Father, we give you praise for this in the gospel that we desperately need and also love in our hearts. Father, we do lift up our other requests to you, that we do pray that you would be with Dina and heal her body, and Jeannie and her knee, as well as bringing, as we prayed this morning, Larry and Chuck and Jeannie home safely in the coming week. Father, we also ask that you would be with Russ's mom, that we're thankful for her faith in you, and praising you for giving her grace, showing her the saving grace. And Father, we ask that you would strengthen her to, in these last days of her life, to die well. Father, we call upon you to give comfort to her, strength to do so, but that we know in the grand scheme of things, you have numbered her days just as you've numbered each of our days. And Father, we give you praise for this, that you know when you will bring us to yourself, and you desire us to be with you. And thankfully, we have, and Russ has, and his family has hope and salvation of his mother. Father, we pray that would be true, and that she would not have deceived family and friends, even herself, Father, but that you would truly, if truly have it be that the Spirit has gone into her heart and changed her heart, and that she has been justified. Father, that is, we pray, according to your will. May it be done as it is in heaven, as so in earth. And so, Father, we ask that you would also watch over us and care for us and our loved ones, even our aging parents, grandparents. Father, we ask that you would strengthen them and call them to yourself if they are not, and that you would bring them to you, to know your Son and be satisfied in him alone. Pray for those who do not believe, of our families, that you would give us opportunities to tell people the gospel, tell them of the gospel, and call them. One of the hardest things to do is to call a family member to believe when they reject and hate your Son. And so, Father, give us boldness to do it. Know that what awaits them if they do not believe is death forever and hell and the pains of hell forever. Father, we also pray for our government. We ask that you would, our civil magistrate, that you would watch over them, care for them. We ask that you would save them from their sins. A great many wicked people in our government who make unjust laws, and even those who profess faith and yet show themselves wicked and produce bad fruit, as we've heard in our passage this evening. Father, we ask that you would call them to yourself by your Spirit and save them for our sakes, so that they would rule according to your word and according to the principles that we find in Scripture. Father, we ask that you would have them to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and kiss the Son, as you call them to do throughout your word. And Father, we pray for the church. We pray that you would protect us, not only our church, but our presbytery, our synod, our denomination. Father, even as synod begins preparations for meeting next month, we ask that you would be preparing the elders who will go and decide important things. We ask that you would give them your wisdom from your word, and that all who gather would rule according to your word and judge according to your word and according to your justice. Father, we ask that you would watch over us and grow the church, and pray for the families who have visited us recently, and even those that Dave and I were able to meet this yesterday. Father, and inviting them to worship with us and come to Christ. Father, we ask that you would bring about a success in that adventure, or that venture, and what we've done. Not because we're any good in our words. We're not. We're very weak. And we found that out yesterday as we talked to people. But you and your word, by your Holy Spirit, is what saves people. And we pray that you would do your saving work. Father, I ask that you would also bring them to worship with us, that they would hear your word, priest. They would see Jesus, even as you say in your word, as we come before your throne. Even as we have the great privilege this evening to do, to see you, even as we hear the word read and preached, and even as we sing with you in just a moment, Father, we ask that you would be given all glory and praise and exaltation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.